Thank you.
Let's open up to John chapter 5. Our thoughts this evening are that God is Father. And in one sense, you know, as James has been talking about David and his sin, and he sought the forgiveness as we have in Psalm 51, in one sense, God was being a father to David, wasn't he? To forgive him. But it's strange that in the Old Testament, the term father is only mentioned 15 times in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it's 204 times, because Jesus came to reveal the Father. 15 times in the Old Testament, 245 times in the New Testament. Old Testament, New Testament. And here we find Jesus revealing the Father in John's Gospel especially. So let's turn to John chapter 5 and several other little sections in the Gospel of John to support this. So John chapter 5. So let's look at verses 17, and it's a long reading here, to 37. John 5, 17 to 37. Jesus replied with his answer, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but that which he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in the same manner. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as a Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son. But all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son, does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as a Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I count of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But there's another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form." Let's move on into the Gospel a little bit further, if we may, please. And just have a look at chapter 6, a few verses in chapter 6. Again, reference to the Father, chapter 6, from verse 37 to 40. In chapter 6, 37 to 40. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise him up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." Just a bit further on, please, in chapter 8. There's so much revelation of the Father and the relationship of the Son with the Father in John's Gospel. Such a blessing indeed. So chapter 8, just a few verses, 17 to 19. Chapter 8, 17 to 19. "It is also written in your law, verse 17, that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you have neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Go on, please, to 29, verse 29. He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And he spoke these words, many believed in him. Just two verses in chapter 10, please. Two verses in chapter 10, 14 and 15 will do. 14 and 15, chapter 10. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life. One could read on into chapter 14, 16, 17, and so on. There's so many references to the Father. And in one sense, we are so dependent on that self-revelation of the Father. The Father reveals his plans and his purposes to be acted out through his own Son. He is eternal, the Son is eternal. And Jesus said in that wonderful prayer of John 17, verse 3, he said, This is life eternal, that they should know thee, the only true God, and him whom you did send, even Jesus Christ. To know the Father through the Son. Jesus said, that's eternal life, and very important. And there's so much conversation in this wonderful chapter 17 of the conversation between Jesus and his Father, the Son. And Jesus said, I've come to reveal the Father. If you look at my nature, how I live, how I speak, how I react, what I do, he said, my Father would do the same if he were here instead of me. We are working together in wonderful unity. So the Father is revealed through the Son. Well, it has to be that way, doesn't it? And in one sense, there, within the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, there's the identification of one with the other. Likeness of character. We understand, of course, that he's creator as well. We see that in a moment. He's infinite. He's the eternal creator. All these things are so important. And in one sense, the Father was manifest through the life and teaching and words and what the Father wanted to say through his Son. And we read in the New Testament that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The action of the Father in this respect. Same in creation. The Father may have planned it, the Son oversaw it, and the Holy Spirit brought it into being. Trinity working together. I'd like, if you will, beyond John's Gospel, if you go to Romans chapter 1. Go to Romans chapter 1 with me. Just one verse there, 20. Romans 1 verse 20. For since the creation of the world, Romans 1:20, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, creation, even his eternal power and Godhead is in fact revealed through the wonder of creation, the eternal power and Godhead. So he says the people who don't believe are without excuse, because although they knew God in respect, if they did that is, they were not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. So the Father was able to reveal himself through creation, his eternal nature was all there as well. And you need to look it up in Hebrews 11 verse 3, I'll read it here. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so the word is seen and thought be made out of things which appear. God created the universe out of nothing, of course. And the Father had his whole part in creation. And of course, through the New Testament, John's Gospel, Hebrews, and in Colossians especially, the creatorhood of the Father is there. Go to Colossians, long beyond Romans. Go to Colossians 1 with me, would you? And let the Word of God explain itself. Colossians 1, again, creation, 16 and 17 of Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. And verse 15 says, he is the image of the invisible God. He who has seen me has seen the Father. He may be invisible, but I am here in the flesh. And I live and act and speak and do what he would do if he were here in my place, as I said. Verse 15 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, those in heaven, those on earth, visible, invisible, thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created through him and for him. Christ's part, the Father's part. working together in that wonderful divine unity. Very special. Even Job knew that God was creator 4,000 years ago, at the time of Abraham. And the Father is revealed through, as I see, John's Gospel, here in Colossians. So through Scripture, there is the self-revelation of the Father through the Son in particular. It's accurate, it's real, it's true. The words of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, it's all there. The creation of man is there as well. And we're told in the New Testament letters, he is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your Father too, being born again. God is your Father. You may call him Father. We may call him Abba Father. Romans 8, we're adopted into the Father's family. We're joint heirs with Christ by the will of the Father. All these things are so true. Go to Isaiah, back to Isaiah 40, if you will. Back to Isaiah 40. In Isaiah 40, I want to look at verse 28. Here again, the Father and the Son, working Trinity in unity with the Holy Spirit, Creator. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, capital letters, that's Yahweh the Father, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. Everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, the ends of the earth. That's the Creator, your Heavenly Father, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful thought. Sometimes the Father expresses himself through the Son. When there are times when Jesus was angry, there are times when he expresses a deep love for people, for sinners to forgive, compassion. He's jealous for his own, in the right sense of the word jealousy, to keep his own, protect his own very often. Jesus knew grief at the death of his friend Lazarus. There is compassion. And there's mercy, as we've heard from James, the mercy of God. The Father came, as it were, known in the Son. That's wonderful, isn't it? And the Father is sovereign over all things. Creator, yes, with the Son. But he is sovereign. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. I want to go back there. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 6. Solomon preparing to build the temple. What does he say? Chapter 2, 2 Chronicles, verse 6. Who is able to build him a temple, since heavens and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a temple except to burn sacrifice before him? Which is its purpose. God came to seek man through, in those days, the operation of the tabernacle and the temple, and showing God's mercy in the way of forgiveness through sacrifice. And the holiness of God is revealed in that way. Who is able to build him a house? See, heaven and heavens can't contain him. He's everywhere. He's working everywhere, though we do not see him. Go back to 1 Chronicles 29. I know we're dashing, but I will let the word explain itself. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 10 and 11. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 and 11. Here is David. And one instance out of the 15, reference to God the Father in the Old Testament, is right here. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father. Wow. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to him. Forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. What a wonderful expression. What a revelation. I'm going to read that again, 10 and 11. Yours, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, capital letters, and you are exalted as head over all. And you could read on after that. It's a statement of real praise. Wonderful there. Father is sovereign, creator of heaven and earth, everything in the whole of the universe. Wonderful. There are many other scriptures I'd like to read. And in Psalm 115, verse 3, you needn't turn to it, I'll quote it. Psalm 115, 3. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatever he pleases. Sovereignty in his actions. Wonderful, isn't it? So God is omnipotent. He's omniscient, knows all things. He's omnipresent, he's everywhere. So is the Father, so is the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He preserves and he provides. Your Heavenly Father, said Jesus, will provide all that you need in your life. As much of the teaching of the Father, of course, in what Jesus said. We also know, of course, that God is holy. The Father is holy. The Son is holy. The Holy Spirit. And be ye holy, for I am holy. Quoted in Peter, and with reference to the Old Testament. Holiness demanded. Think of the Lord. Holiness, separation from sin. We're among people, but we don't sin like them. Separate from all unbelief or evil. Everything of evil practice and uncleanness. God is holy. He hates evil. He hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Praise the Lord. So he is distinctly different from humanity because of our fall. We were once made in his image. Since the fall, it's been terribly harmed. Holiness, yes, is the absence of evil. No one unsaved can ever enter heaven because of sin in their life. We just read one instance in the Old Testament where Father is mentioned, David mentioned the Father. There's only a few more places there. Now go into the New Testament with me, please. Would you go to Ephesians? Wonderful letter, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul often addresses these churches with a greeting. And in chapter 1, verse 2, what does the Apostle Paul say to us too? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins so many of his letters with that term. From the Lord Jesus Christ and from the Father. Greetings from the Father. This is what he's saying. Go over into chapter 2 then with me. Verse 18. Ephesians 2, verse 18. For through him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Our access through the Son, through the Holy Spirit, to the Father. That's wonderful. What a privilege that is. Go on to 1 Thessalonians. Yes.
They knew that if they saw the Father, they would live.
Oh. Yes, absolutely right.
Without Jesus,
you would know nothing about him at all.
That's, you know, the Ark of the Covenant, what's condemning.
Only the high priest would go in there.
Yeah. That's how it was, isn't it?
Perhaps the way it was, in God's supreme holiness and hatred of sin, need of sacrifice, yes. Thank you for that, Clive. 1 Thessalonians, then, chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3. And verse 11. It's like a prayer. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 11. A reference to the Father. Now may our God, relationship, and Father himself, and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. That he may establish your hearts, verse 13, blameless in holiness, before our God and Father. Before our God and Father. God at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Wonderful. The prayer for the Lord's blessing from God the Son and God the Father to his own. Wonderful nature of the Father. Love, kindness, grace, mercy, patience, long-suffering. Jesus came to reveal the Father. He's the same. Wonderful, isn't it? Go on to Hebrews 6 with me. Hebrews 6, two pages further on. Let the scriptures speak for themselves. We have no other reference. Hebrews 6. God is unchanging, and he cannot lie. Jesus said, I'm the truth, so is the Father. Hebrews 6, 17, 18. Thus God, I won't go into the verses before, thus God determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, you and me, the immutability of his counsel, the unchanging nature. I am the Lord, he says to Malachi, I do not change. In which it is impossible for God to lie, of course. We might have strong consolation, encouragement. We've fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Two immutable things. God cannot lie, and he's unchangeable. And he's given us strong consolation, comfort, and hope. Two changes, two things that do not change. That's the Lord. And often in our trials, James is teaching wonderful in trials, the devil tempts us, but God tests us different. But in those, it's God's training, the Father's training ground for our lives. We're going to be made once and come to meet the Lord in a new body. We should be like Him and see Him as He is. Life-changing work in all our lives now. There's a lot more to do, of course. He's infinite, righteous, He's sovereign in all things. He covers us with His tender-hearted loving-kindness, chesed in the Old Testament. Tender-hearted loving-kindness and mercy. One word, that's what it means. Tender-hearted mercies. So He is. Wonderful, isn't it? So when you think of that word grace, God's redeeming activity at Christ's expense with the initials, and peace, propitiation, expiation, atonement at Christ's expense, that's the covenant for eternity we have forever. Hallelujah. Here's our security. God is righteous. Your Father's righteous. Jesus is always right. Your Father's always right. He can never lie. He cannot make mistakes. He cannot change. That's the Father. Jesus came to reveal the Father to you. He's your Father in heaven. He wants to care for you every day. He does. He watches over you and provides for you. Whatever you ask in my name to the Father, He will provide for you. That's His promise when our lives are right, of course, with Him. When our lives are right. And His righteousness is obviously connected to His holiness. But God cannot lie and God cannot make a mistake. He's always right. He's always holy. And He's given us, in a sense, the challenge to live holy before Him, in morality especially. God cannot break His own laws. One of the two things He can't do, He can't lie, He cannot break His laws. He lives by His own law, never moves outside of it. If He has alternatives, one or the other is right, as it may well be so. But He's always right. And He raises the dead. The Father raises the dead, the Son raises the dead. Wonderful. Acts 17:31, I'll just read it. Paul says this to the philosophers on Mars Hill in Athens. He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man. The Father will judge the world by that man. He has given all judgment to the Son. This is what the Father has done. He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained. The Father has ordained His Son to be the judge. That's the Father's will. He's planned it all like that. God is sovereign. God is righteous. God is holy. God is true. I'm the way and the truth and the life, said Jesus. And the Father's exactly the same. Absolute faithfulness. Absolute truth. In Him is no lie. No fault. And He's revealed Himself. The Father working through the Son. And I read John 17 just now. Jesus said, Scripture cannot be broken. What the Word of God says about the Father, what the Word of God says about me, is true. The promises I make cannot be broken. It's impossible for God the Father to do that. So when you think about it, in the Godhead, there's co-equal in unity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all working for you. All working for me. One day to be transformed into the image of His Son. That's the Father's tender purpose. That's the Father's tender care. Watching over His redeemed through His Son. Watching over His sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. Watching over us like an eagle watching over its young. Wonderful picture, isn't it? Wonderful relationship which the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus spoke about marriage. The unity between the man and the woman, the husband and the wife. In marriage unity, the two become one. And so in a sense, that marriage is not a complete picture, of course, of the wonderful union, unity between the Father and the Son. And the love between the Father and the Son. And the love of both of them as persons of the Godhead in their love for you, watching over you, tender care, watching over you. The Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Trinity and unity and plurality, watching over His redeemed. A great cost. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Father took the initiative. I want to save you. I want to redeem you. I want to make you my own. I want to watch over you. I want to provide eternity for you. I want to have heaven for you. Jesus came to reveal God the Father. To know Him requires a definite revelation, a self-revelation of the Father through His Son. The Father has willed the work of the Son, the death of the cross. And the Father and the Holy Spirit raised the Son. He's coming soon for us, no doubt. This is witnessed by the Holy Spirit, given to us in the Scriptures. The Godhead, in one purpose and practice, to reveal Himself,
to uphold his very name in righteousness and holiness and sovereignty and truth, immutability, unchangeable nature. Jesus said, he will see me as see my Father. He's just like me. Amen.
Thank you.